live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, a.k.a. the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 176 of the Field to the Real podcast. And no, your eyes do not deceive you. I don't have any hair.
Listen, we switching roles.
Right.
After I don't want to lock years, my hair and you cutting it off.
After 21 years of having hair and 20 years of having it locked, I sliced my locks off, and I am currently, have the Even Steven.
Looking all handsome, y'all see my brother. I thought he looked like a little boy.
I know. Thank God I ain't cut this off. Shout out to T-Rach, because he showed up was trying to talk me into it. Like, nah, man.
Listen, man, keep y'all my hair. Like a little boy. Leave me alone.
No, thank you. It's funny. I sent you the photo.
Yes.
After I did it, and you were like, "Why are you making that face?"
Yes. I'm like, "What's this like, face about?"
Look at the whole picture.
I promise you, I was clueless because I'm so used to him like wearing it back. And so I wasn't paying attention to his hair. I was like, oh, he got his hair back. And I'm just looking at y'all, his face was like real perplexed. So I'm like, what's wrong? I'm over here being concerned, big sis, right? Not thinking about the fact. And then I showed it to my niece and she was like, Auntie Jared don't have no hair. What? I was like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that? But I am so excited for you because know that there are new beginnings when we do things like this. Women do this kind of stuff and, you know, we'll just start and do the big chop and cut it off and start over. It's a new beginning.
I'm sure you know I've gotten that joke from my friends.
I don't even, what joke that you did
about, about, you know, how, you know, when women do the big chop and they cut their hair off. Well, one of my boys, shout out to Pioneer. He was like, is this the new year, new me?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Look, tell him,
I was like, yeah, new quarter, new me.
No, but you look great, bro. And thank listen, we just got to tell the whole thing, y'all, right? Because he sends me the picture. And when my niece finally gets me to see that, oh, his hair's gone, then he says, I was going to surprise you, but I didn't want your face.
I'm still, look, for those of you who watch consistently, I'm sure that you know that Steph cannot hide her facial expressions. Like, they just pop out. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm going to surprise her. We're going to jump on the podcast and record, and she's going to see it. She's going to be like, oh, my God. But she wouldn't have been able to hide that facial expression. So I was like, let me send this picture to her now.
And not, because I was like, I'm offended. Did you think I would have been like, oh, like what? No.
Well not you might have just looked at me like.
Something strange going on.
What's like, happening?
That is so funny. And my niece, I told her that you said, and she was like, and can't face it. Just going to tell it off. Oh, God.
She know.
I was like, whatever, y'all. So, can't help it. I get it from my mama. Because it's her face. Yeah. So, yes, but I'm excited for your new.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
you are welcome. It. Yeah, absolutely.
Look, you doing the same.
I know, right? Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, this is real. I actually am locking my hair. I'm like, what is happening?
what is happening? Yeah, you know, I told you that. It's going to look really nice.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Just got to be patient, but I'm excited.
Yeah. The hurry up and wait thing with locks is
oh, that ain't happening. Like, yeah. I'm over hurry it. Up and wait. I'm ready to be patient with it. It's fine. I've been natural for almost 20 years, and so Yeah. Natural hair, whether it's locked or not, you just have to be patient with it anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready. So, let's go. Yeah.
All right. I was going to say this, who's really right, you know. All right. And, you know, this is one of the favorite of mine, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And now honestly, because I think I see who we would be able to compare this guy to.
I'm going to let you go first.
So without further ado, my who's really right for this week is, there was a video that surfaced of LeBron playing high school football, and he played receiver, which is shocking because 6'8". 200, probably 40 even pounds then, at that time. He was a huge receiver. And so it's created a lot of buzz and people. We get this every few years though. I don't know why. I mean, I think social media just kind of keeps recycling this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen video of him playing football before. And so, and this question has come up because he had made a comment about, I want to say maybe during the lockout. Some years back, he had kind of talked to Jerry Jones about, you know, possibly trying out for the Cowboys, which, I mean, that wasn't going to happen. I mean, nobody was going for that. But do we think that he could have been a great NFL player?
And we're going to let you, this your go. So I'm going to let you go first.
You going to let me go first?
I'm going to let you go first. This is your go.
I think that it's a no-brainer. I think that LeBron would have been in the gold jacket. And I think that
Gold jacket.
Yeah, wow. I think when we think about the freakish athlete that he is, another player comes to mind, and that's Randy Moss.
Okay.
And so to me, LeBron would be if Randy Moss, with his ability to jump and, you know, if Randy Moss and Terrell Owens had a baby. Both Hall of Famers. And so
if they had a baby.
And so I think that, you know, LeBron is just a special athlete. Like, I think any sport that he had to play, any sport that he would have stayed with or been consistent with, and I'm thinking boxing, baseball, football. Can you imagine LeBron as a pitcher?
No.
I cannot. A 6'8", 240-pound pitcher.
No.
That'd be nasty.
That'd be scary.
I think with his work ethic and just his God-given ability, I think whatever he would have gone in, he would have been great at.
Okay.
I know where you're going, so come on.
So I'm going to start with the fact that there are a few athletes who transcend their sport to be able to play multiple sports. There was only one that I can think of that was extremely successful at two, Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
I said extremely successful. He was okay as a baseball player.
He was above average. He played in the majors.
Okay. There's only one.
I just, because Bo Jackson's career was cut short.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's why I would say.
Well, potential is, know what it would have been. Okay. Right. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that.
There's one that I can think of that did basketball and football that I can think of. Charlie Ward.
In college?
Yes.
Julius Peppers?
No. Charlie Ward played
football and basketball.
In college.
And basketball. And at
basketball
FSU.
In the NBA.
Yeah, he only played basketball in the NBA. Only played basketball professionally. Right. Peppers played
both.
Well, college football and basketball, and then played in the NFL.
Right.
Because,
I mean, it's a lot. Tony Gonzalez. It's a bunch of tight ends you could think of that kind of it's a whole bunch of them that played basketball and football, but then ended up in the NFL. right?
Yeah.
Didn't go play basketball.
Right.
And I think there's a reason why that happened. And I'll just say this about LeBron. I pick, and I always am saying this jokingly about him, that I think he forgets that he's playing basketball sometimes, because he plays like he's supposed to be playing football, because he just bulls people over with his size and strength. But at the end of the day, I brought up Charlie Ward for one reason. The reason he chose basketball over football is the level of abuse your body takes as a football player, even at a big size. We see it every week. I don't care how big you are, you still get hurt.
So I think that one of the reasons, and maybe that was one of the reasons, but I think one of the bigger reasons that Charlie Ward decided to go with basketball over football was there wasn't a prevalence of black quarterbacks at the time that Charlie Ward came out.
And I think he was undersized. He would have been undersized as a quarterback too, because he was kind of small for a quarterback.
Oh, I mean, I guess kind of small, because
he was a small guy.
6'3".
Yeah, he was, but he was a small guy. He was
slighter. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it just wasn't enough of a, you know what I'm saying,
push.
And I think he could have been successful, you know, and I think that it was one of those things where it's like, football, basketball, they're going to make me switch my position. And if I am slider, right, and you're going to move me to receiver or something like that,
I'm more likely
to play the position that I played. Then if I'm doing both and I'm a point guard.
Right. At least I'm the man.
Yeah, I don't have to change my position playing basketball, because they're black point guards.
Yeah. And so, all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that, but I still feel like, so my point being, LeBron, I don't know that he would have had the same longevity.
We're both in agreement with that.
Yeah, I don't believe he would have had the same longevity, and I just don't know that. It's brutal. Football is brutal.
Well,
and your body got to be ready for that.
Looking at, you know, let's look at some of the tight ends. And I don't want to stay too long on this, because I know we can talk and talk about this. Let's look at some of, because I believe LeBron would probably play tight end.
He would have.
He would have been in that receiver.
No.
We look at somebody like a Vernon Davis, who's a freak athlete, who played.
Yes.
He got drafted in 05, 06, 05. Hard worker, but a freak athlete, right? Yeah. He lasted up until a few years ago.
Yeah, he did.
So but he got maybe hurt a lot. 14, 15 years.
But he got hurt a lot. He had quite a few significant
injuries. I think his are more nagging injuries as opposed to, like, because he didn't miss a whole bunch of time.
No, but he had. I just know he was never, not always. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's just gonna happen with football. That's
my whole point.
No. So I agree, but you still see that with basketball. You know what I'm saying? These play like what's my man's name? Is it not Goran Dragic? Somebody just got injured and they're out for the season.
I didn't see that. I don't know.
Somebody just got injured and they're out for the season. Was it the Hawks?
What?
Dragic. Somebody. Now it'll come to me, and I'll throw that back out before we end.
Okay.
But there are a lot of significant injuries in the NBA. You know, we see Russ having an issue with his knees all those years. You know, KD with the torn Achilles that it took him 2 years to come back from. And so I think the brutalness of football can't be understated. But I think all sports you're gonna see injury. I think it's the day-to-day stuff, those nagging small injuries that kind of like, all right, I got a broken finger, but I still got to play through it.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Whereas in basketball, you break your finger, you're probably not going to play.
You use them so much more. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I guess my point being, I do not believe LeBron would have been some – he would have – I think the question I probably should have posed was, would he have been as good?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. I just feel like it wouldn't have been the case. He would have just fell in line and just been a part. Like, he would not have been a Gronk in the NFL.
I vehemently disagree with that. Because I feel
So this is really what I was saying when I asked the question. Like, could he have been the way he is in the NBA, in the NFL? And I do not believe he could have.
I think with certain guys, right? Now, barring injury, which is, you know, obviously the equalizer, and that, you know, someone with the freakish athleticism as a LeBron, whatever sport that he played and that he dedicated himself to, he was going to be the guy in. And I think that we'd be hard pressed to see him be something different. Like, and we're not even talking about the fact of how he takes care of his body and how he does those things.
Right.
Right. Like, just the him being a freakish athlete. I think they're like, you know, I think at tight end, we probably would have been mentioning him in the names with the goats of like a Tony Gonzalez and a Shannon Sharp.
It's a bromance. There, it's a bromance.
Nah. I think I like just looking at what I see, like freaking. So I think you give Vernon Davis better quarterbacks, and he may be mentioning those names. And even with like his freakish athleticism, like what he was able to do at tight end. Like, Vernon Davis was a receiver that was playing tight end.
Did he not play with Phillip Rivers?
Who?
Vernon Davis.
Nah, he had a couple of seasons with Colin Kaepernick, but he had most of those years with Alex Smith, and then he came to D.C.
Okay. I don't know why I thought he played with the Chargers. Okay.
Oh, no, he was with the Niners. He got drafted by the Niners and played
with the Niners
and decided to come back home to D.C. and, you know.
So that I guess that was the way I should have posed the question.
Yeah.
Would he have been as good? So your answer is yes and mine is no. I feel like he would have fallen more in the middle of the road. He wouldn't have been a George Kittle. You know, Travis Kelce. I don't know if he would have been on that level. I just don't know. I mean, obviously, he would have had some amazing moments because he is who he is, but I just don't know at football if it would have been like it is at basketball for him. So that's our question, y'all.
Yeah. So the question is, the real who's really right is, would LeBron have been as great at football in the NFL as he was at basketball in the NBA? So that's what we want you guys to ask. So you guys let us know who's really right. Write it down in the comments. You guys can go ahead and agree with me on this one because I think I... I'll just play it. Let us know who's really right.
Who's really right?
Real good topics.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not sure, and I got to be honest with you guys because Stephanie's kind of just taking over doing the topics for us. Because, and look, she always has great topics. And so, in looking at this topic, when you chose this one, right? Because this is a really good topic. When you chose this topic, I don't know if you chose this topic before the Denver Broncos just extended Russell Wilson?
It was right at the time.
It was right at the time? Okay, so this makes it an even better topic because now the question is it a good idea for Lamar Jackson to be willing to go out there and play even though he hasn't got his extension yet? And so to look at, what is it, $254 million that Russell Wilson got for an extension?
Yes. Yes.
Now, is that fully guaranteed? Because I wasn't I looked to see that, but
I don't think the whole thing is.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember I can't remember what the terms are, but I don't think the whole 254, I think it's 256. I want to say 256. But whatever it is, I think it's not, the whole thing is not, I don't believe the whole thing is guaranteed.
Okay.
I think like 210 of it is. I don't know where these numbers are coming in my head, but yeah.
Even if that's it.
Yeah. I can't remember what
it is. Okay. Five year, 245.
I knew it. Okay. 245. That's no chump change, poo poo.
Not at all. I still wasn't able to see if it was fully guaranteed or, if, you know, how much of it was guaranteed.
I want to say it's not all guaranteed, but it's still like a good chunk of it. But.
Okay.
So,
because one of the conversations that we had a few months back was about if the contract that Deshaun Watson signed is going to affect what Lamar Jackson was going to get. And Deshaun Watson signed for 230 something.
Yeah.
So this 245 number for five years, it doesn't necessarily blow it out of the water, but it's a little more. And so what it's going to do is, it's going to push up the price for Lamar Jackson. He's going to have to reset the market, which is going to put a lot more pressure on the Baltimore Ravens.
That was their fault.
No, it is, because they could have gotten this done some time ago. But they were kind of, I don't know what they were
doing. I don't know what the problem is. I'm still trying to figure out what the problem is.
Right. So the question is it a good idea for him to play when he knows that this money is around the corner? And more importantly, if he gets injured, this money will probably not be on the table. What do you think?
That's my only issue. Mm-hmm. So being around athletes, majority of my time, I understand it is something that the average person probably would never understand, and that being me too, the passion and the need to participate in the sport is so strong. Mm-hmm. He went through having COVID and injuries that kept him out over the last couple of years pretty often. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that longing is probably more strong than it would have been otherwise. Had he played all of the last 16 games for the last 2 years, he probably would be, okay, I can restrain myself. But the restraint is not there because he hasn't played like he would have desired to. Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, I feel like, for some reason, he's kind of KD-ish in this way. Mm-hmm. Pays attention to what's being said about him.
Yeah.
And there's a need to prove yourself to somebody for some reason. But to answer the question, absolutely not. I'm not stepping foot on this field because I'm prone to injury. Mm-hmm. I'm not stepping foot on this field until my money is right.
Right.
Period. If Kyler Murray can do it, you can do it. I'm just saying, like.
Well, this is that intersection between football and business that gets a little bit dicey for all of the players in the NFL. Not all of them, but more so like those bigger contract guys.
Yeah.
and you have the fan base who they don't really care or understand, or some of them don't even really want to understand the business aspect of football, because all they see is that they are invested and that they want their team to win, and you're a part of that. And so if you can play, they want you to play.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, and I'm going to use this analogy, that this contract, this next contract that Lamar Jackson is going to get, is a lottery ticket, right? It's a lottery ticket that he just needs to cash in.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Going out to play is the equivalent of being very loose with that lottery ticket, right? Because if we lose the lottery ticket, we lose the jackpot.
That's right.
And so if we don't protect this lottery ticket at all costs, and protecting it means that I don't play and put myself in harm's way or in danger of injuring myself, that would risk losing that lottery ticket.
Absolutely.
And so I really wish, this is where I wish he had an agent, because this is where I feel
this
like.
This is the problem. Yep.
You know, this is.
Yes.
I want to play, so I'm just going to go out there and do it. And it would be in the best interest of the organization for him to get injured and then
absolutely
get a bargain.
Absolutely.
Then for him to, you know, sit out and wait to reset the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming I guess he has to have one more year on his deal. He was drafted in the first round, so I'm sure it was a four-year to play five deal. So,
either way,
know,
it's just it. Either way, it's just not. I mean, yeah. So I say this all the time to people. This is why my heart is so for working with athletes sometimes, because a situation like this, while you don't have an agent, I wouldn't even have a conversation with you about that. But I would have a conversation with you about your emotions.
Yeah.
And not letting them override logic.
Right.
I would have that conversation. Real talk. That's what this is about. We're not going to let our emotion override logic. Period.
Yeah.
Period. Or in Jared's words, it's about business, dude.
It's about business.
Get that business done first.
We got to figure out the business before we start talking about playing football.
Business before we start talking about anything else. And the Ravens are happy to sit back and let you go out there. And and I don't know that they praying something happen, but they're not going to be mad if it does.
Yeah, they certainly won't. And they probably are.
Oh, you know. I hope not. But, yeah. Anyway, so I'm just going to say this. We are going to stand in agreement and being in prayer that you would be covered the entire season, Mr. Jackson, that you would be able to make it all 17, when they play now, 17 games. 17 games without one, not even your toenail being nicked, okay? So that you can go forward and get your bag, sir.
Yeah.
That's my prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise up for him. Absolutely. Hopefully somebody speak some wisdom to him real quick.
Before it's too late. Like, real talk. If somebody can show him this, I'm willing. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, what's going on with your favorite owner? So he is making it seem like, or insinuating, that Dak Prescott's contract is the reason that the team can't be as competitive as it could be, because they aren't able to sign free agents and whatnot, even though he gave Zeke a ridiculous amount of money before he gave Dak his money. He's blaming it on Dak Prescott's contract. Now, we know that Matthew Stafford is in the same ballpark as him, and he just won the Super Bowl. So how do you feel about your favorite owner making these comments?
I am not shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Much like his friend, they like to put everything on everybody else.
Yeah.
It's not my poor management. It's not my poor decision making. It's you. Somebody else's fault. And I am going to say, because it's true that there are six other quarterbacks that make more money than this man. Okay? And like you just said, Matthew Stafford, he and Matthew Stafford are probably around the same amount of money. And he just went out and won a Super Bowl. And they were able to put the proper talent around him. It is not about Dak Prescott's contract. This is about your lack of ability to do your part properly. And it is, I'm going to use a Stephen A. word, egregious, that you would publicly, because this was on a podcast or a news interview, something public that you said this. And the fact that you would use a platform like that to put this out on your franchise quarterback, your quarterback, is just stank. It's stank. Yeah. That's all I can say.
I mean, it goes to, it speaks to his leadership ability or lack thereof. You know, I don't know if he thinks this is going to light a fire under Dak. But
with what am I supposed to do something with? Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Maybe play better.
Anyway,
and you traded away his best receiver.
This is all I'm saying, right? That part.
So yeah,
he's supposed to do better with what? That's my point. With what?
Okay. We about to see. Yeah. We about to see in a minute.
Yeah. Tried to tell you that this ain't the spot. Get out while you
go ahead, request a trade.
Go, bye.
This ain't the NBA, but you can go ahead and request
a trade. Just go to put that out there. Like, oh.
All right, let's jump to this Cleveland Cavaliers trade that they just made with the Utah Jazz. I liked it I hated it, right? I hated the trade, but I think it's a good trade for Cleveland.
So getting him for all that, they just gave up the house for this man.
Yeah.
Okay.
They gave up, they gave up the house, but they kept their core in contact, right?
I guess.
So they kept their core players in contact. I mean, they pretty much only really got rid of, as far as a starter, Colin Sexton.
I ain't talking about what's there in the future.
We're trying to win now. We didn't have a smell. We didn't have a smell of something. And Donovan Mitchell, we had Spider Mitchell over here with the team we just had. And I know they gave up a little bit of depth, and they gave up a boatload of draft picks, but
yeah, they did.
let's go try to do this now and show people that we're serious, right? And maybe we get a few free agents to come over the next couple of years. And so I'm all for it from that standpoint, but I really wanted to see him go to the Knicks. I did. I really wanted that to happen.
You and Stephen A, he had a conniption about this.
Yeah.
He had a conniption about this.
I think that a city or a team like the Knicks, not having a
superstar,
viable superstar, like, just doesn't feel right for the NBA.
It does not. But it speaks volumes about where the Knicks are. So
yeah, it does.
It speaks volumes about where the Knicks are. Until they, you know, it's some again, back to this whole management thing. Things that need from the head that need to be dealt with. I wouldn't want to be there.
I think that there's still a perception about the Knicks, especially with the ownership, right?
Yep.
I think James Dolan's just really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and it's very hard to get free agents. Exactly. I think the guys that they just brought in over the last year or so, I think that they are doing good trying to steer the ship right, given the perception of, you know. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get free agents in there based off of, you know, the old regime.
They might get that one back.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this in a second. do you feel like this trade is going to make them instant contenders in the Eastern Conference?
I think you said it. they kept the core of their group together. Mm-hmm. And he's their, not LeBron, but yeah. he is their next best thing, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that's what the piece that I think they've been missing since LeBron left is that person that mm-hmm. can pretty much your thing, pick up the mop bucket and carry the team. And he is that kind of player. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they might not be, you know, top of the Eastern Conference, but I feel like they'll definitely be in contention. They'll be in the top eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like they'll be in the top four.
Good luck with that one, but okay.
So I looking at it, my picks would probably be Brooklyn's in disarray. I'm not even gonna mention
it. This is a good who's really right. Don't do it.
Oh, I won't mess it up. Okay. So we'll come back and readdress this. But I do think that it makes them contenders in the Eastern Conference. Roll call.
All right.
All right. So we just kind of talked about this. We didn't get deep into it. But we're bringing it on around. Let me get my clock ready. 1 minute. 1 minute is all we have to talk about these topics.
I gotta stop laughing.
So Carmelo Anthony wants to go back to New York. He wants to be a Knick again. Should he hang it up and go? Steph, you can't just laugh like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna just say yes. Okay.
So you feel like he should? It's time for him to hang it up.
He's done, baby. You know what? You just go lay down, go sit down, go whatever.
God, he ain't that old. Steph.
For basketball, just be done. Just go away.
Okay. So I'm looking at this from the other side.
Oh, God.
If Udonis Haslam can still be in the NBA, I think that somebody like Carmelo, and by all accounts from everybody who's spoken about Carmelo, knows that he's a team-first guy. He's a great mentor.
Absolutely.
I want to say, shout out to Iman Shumpert. Iman Shumpert talks a lot about Carmelo's mm-hmm. leadership that kind of mm-hmm. gets overlooked when discussing him. So I think that somebody like him who has New York in his heart, who has a love for the Knicks.
That perspective, Udonis Haslam's perspective, if it's going to be that,
yeah,
I see. So you're just going to pay him basically to be another coach on the bench, mm-hmm. essentially. Because in my head, I'm like, please don't get out on the floor. Anyway, okay.
All right, let's go to the next topic.
Yes.
Kenny Pickett may have wrapped up the starting position for the Steelers. Sorry, Trubisky. Should he get the starting position, or should Mike Tomlin sit him?
This is tough for me. Okay, go ahead. Start the clock.
And go.
This is tough for me because mm-hmm. I'm a proponent of letting them sit for a while just to kind of learn it. But mm-hmm. this kid has shown from the get-go, like, he just came mm-hmm. in ready. He ready. Yeah. He NFL ready.
Right.
I say go for it. Trubisky I've never been a fan anyway. You've never shown me anything that makes me think you should be starter over anybody.
Well, so I think Trubisky did a really good job in Buffalo in the amount of time that he had. So I think he redeemed himself, which is the reason why the Steelers kind of brought him in as insurance. But if Kenny Pickett is doing his thing, listen, we're not here to we put the best players on the field. We're not here to you know, rub no egos.
Nope. And you got the coaching staff that can help coach this kid up.
Right.
Yeah. You can always put Trubisky in if he's looking like he needs to sit down. Just saying. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So, last topic.
Yes.
Serena kind of left the door open, which I knew she was going to do. Especially with the way that she ended. You know, she didn't get a grand slam.
Yeah.
I was the quarterfinal she went out in?
Mm-hmm. No. It was before the quarterfinals.
Before, right before the quarterfinals. Right, yeah, because Coco just...
Coco's going to the quarterfinals.
Going to the quarters, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Coco.
Yes, shout out to her. I didn't realize that she was only 18. I thought she was older than that.
No.
I don't know who I was confusing her with.
She was 15 when she came when on the scene.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's somebody else who's a little bit older that I think I was confusing her with.
Oh, okay. Naomi? Well, no.
Not Naomi. It's another another young lady who plays tennis who was out a few years ago.
You got to start this clock off because we ain't talked about the topic.
Yeah, no, I didn't even start it yet.
Okay, great.
So, is Serena done or not?
You started it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. I would say no because she kept saying, one thing that kept making me think that she's not done is she kept saying, I hate I didn't start earlier playing this year because I was just getting into my groove. I feel like she's going to take some time. She needs some rest. She needs to spend some time with Olympia and her husband and do a little stuff. But that itch, because she was still good, is going to come back. She's going to come back. I don't believe this is the Tom Brady of tennis right here.
Yeah, so you took it right out of my mouth. I was gonna say this is Tom Brady right here. I just think that she can still play at a high level. She, you know, has too much to continue to give to the game, and so she's not wrapping it up. She's probably gonna take a little bit of a leave of absence, and she'll be back.
Because I feel like she was in this space of not feeling like she was able to really perform at a high level. And then she saw it kind of start to happen again at the end right there. Mm-hmm. She's not done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to Serena. We'll see you next year for Wimbledon.
Whenever you come back, Australia, whatever one it is. Yep.
Mental health moment.
Yeah.
All right. You know, this is one of my favorite players.
I know.
One of my favorite players.
I know.
Him being the point guard in DC for so many years.
Yeah.
I was a fan when he was in college. And I mean, I knew we were terrible enough to get him, but didn't realize that while he was in college, he was going to be coming to the Wizards. And so I hate to see how his career had gone. So it makes sense after hearing his story, because, you know, he endured a lot. He got injured. I want to say he ruptured his Achilles, and then a freak accident in the shower, he ended up tearing his ACL.
Yep.
And so he went through all of those years of rehabbing to get back, just to get traded by the team that, you know, he had only known.
Yeah.
And then he gets traded to Houston to go play with James Harden, and James Harden decides he wants out of town. And then the team decides that they weren't going to play him, and they paid him to go away.
Yeah.
And so John Wall's come out over the last couple of weeks during his press run, speaking about contemplating suicide over those tough few years where he didn't have basketball, and then watching his mother die of cancer. And even to go a little more, watching his grandmother pass. And how this stretch of time just being one of those darkest times in his life. And so I think that we've seen a championing of mental health from athletes and them kind of talking about the struggles that they've had. Mm-hmm. I think that when it had gotten to Ben Simmons, people started to feel like, all right, are some of these athletes kind of taking advantage of, are they taking advantage of?
That's weird. You
know, this, yeah, I know. Sorry, guys, for the technical difficulties. Screen just went on out on us. When I was discussing Ben Simmons and I was talking about how it had got to a point where now the public is starting to feel like, are they taking advantage of these mental health talking points in order to gain sympathy or empathy from the fans. But when you hear somebody like John Wall opening up in the way that he did, you know, you feel for him, you know?
Absolutely.
You feel for, you know, all that he's gone through, because it's a lot. And then to be at the point of contemplating suicide, a lot of people can identify with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it very brave of him to come forward, because while I say a lot of people identify with that, not a lot of people are willing to come forward to share their story about it.
Absolutely. So,
shout out to him for being vulnerable in that, and making the decision to open up about this.
Absolutely. And you just said what I would have said. Like, first of all, to the whole Ben Simmons looking for sympathy thing, we're not going to villainize vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I don't care why I did it. It doesn't matter. If it was the truth, we're not going to we're not going to villainize him for telling his truth, regardless mm-hmm. of whether it was to get somebody's sympathy or empathy, or if it was just to share. I feel like these athletes are twofold. One, they are sharing their stories in hopes that it would help someone else, but they're also doing it because it's their way of dealing with their stuff.
Right. I only mentioned, oh, I'm sorry.
You could.
Well, I was saying I had only mentioned Ben Simmons because I wanted to, you know, give kind of the contrast of the conversation around mental health and athletes yeah. over the, I would say maybe the last year or so,
yeah,
where we had this, you know, we think
influx.
About, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Players coming out and speaking about dealing with mental health, and then, mm-hmm. you know, having Ben Simmons come out. And maybe I should have gone a little further with explaining it. I could see how some of the backlash that Ben Simmons got could probably make some of these athletes say, I don't know if I'm one, because I don't want anybody to perceive me that way. Mm-mm. So
that's my point. I don't mm-hmm. want us yeah. being people who are watching these athletes to villainize their vulnerability, because it is not fair.
Right.
This is something that is new in mm-hmm. in sports, right, to be vulnerable in this way. I love it. I think it's necessary. And I think it allows, it's almost like if you look at social media, especially when we were like deep into the pandemic, you saw a lot of people putting things out there like, check on your friends, make sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. Like them being vulnerable like this is their saying, I'm not okay.
Right.
Somebody check on me. Somebody, mm-hmm. this gives license to say, John, you need some help. You need us to, you know what I mean? Right. What you need us to do to make sure you good, bro, so you don't go back there. Mm-hmm. And so I applaud him for sharing his story. I certainly see how he got in such a dark place. Mm-hmm. And that's, I wish that somebody had said something, knowing that all this was going on with him mm-hmm. before, but I will say, I've had this conversation with athletes before, because, and this is not just athletes, but I do feel like this is definitely a thing that I see amongst athletes, is mm-hmm. this facade that I'm good.
Yeah.
So he might have been putting on a good face for people. So right. I'm not saying that the people in his life weren't paying attention. I'm just saying, even if he get, because I'm the person that, even if you say to me, oh, I'm good, and I know your circumstances, I'm gonna dig a little deeper. Mm-hmm. So I'm encouraging people. That's what I guess, if I'm gonna take anything from this, even in our regular everyday lives, it don't have to be somebody that's famous.
Right.
Your friends, you know, they're going through a lot. They've been through a lot of things. Check on them. You sure yeah. you're okay? Like, right. I know you making it. You keep going, but are you okay? Know that I'm here if you need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
That type of thing. I'm that person. I tell everybody, you need me? I don't care what kind of time of night. Call.
Yeah. So, you know, huh?
I said, that's it.
No, I think that, you know, we can expound on this conversation you know, maybe in some, you know, episodes going further, just about this conversation around athletes and mental health and kind of where it's starting to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be a good one to tackle because, you know, that conversation around Ben Simmons, like, you know, it a lot of people's personal feelings kind of got taken into it, and what people believe an athlete should be or how they should respond to certain things. And then the S label gets kind of thrown on there, you know, with players and what they deal with and calling them soft and, you know, so I think that's
a human beings at the end of the day. Yeah.
Right. I think that's an important conversation to have.
Yeah. That's the part I think people miss. These people have extraordinary abilities. Mm-hmm. They have great talent. They can do things that the average person might not be able to do, but they are still human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. That's the part that I think gets missed. They're humans.
Right.
Anyway, we could talk about this. This, you know, this my lane right here. So yeah. Let's just, yeah.
All right, feel good final thought. Yeah. Now, the amount of love that Serena got shown for her last tennis match was I'm sure overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
You know, getting messages from people like Tiger Woods, and I believe I saw in there Barack Obama sent her a message. Mm-hmm. And, well, Barack and Michelle, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and other sports stars, like obviously like Tom Brady and LeBron. Like, she just received so much love from so many different people. But one of the graphics I saw, it talked about all of the things that happened from the time that she won Wimbledon in 99 to this match here. And I was just floored because Tim Duncan has been retired for, what, 7 years now? And one of the first things on that list was that he was the reigning rookie of the year in the NBA.
When she started.
No, when she won that.
When she won Wimbledon, yeah.
Yeah, in 99. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm getting over.
Decades of dominance.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a run, you know.
Decades of dominance.
We talk about Tom Brady.
I mean, he's up there. But
no, he up there. Tom started in 2000.
Yeah.
She started a few years before that. And Tom ain't win his first championship until 2001.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, no. And for me, the one that I was waiting for, and I'm so happy that she put such thought into it, was Coco's.
Yeah.
To her, I want to read it. It says, Serena, thank you. It is because of you, I believe in this dream. The impact you've had on me goes beyond any words that can be put together. And for that, I say thank you, thank you, thank you, GOAT.
Mm. Yeah.
She made it possible for Coco Gauff and so many other of these young brown and black babies mm-hmm. to be able to feel her and Venus. And I love that that was her first acknowledgement when she finished that match was, I got to thank my sister because it would be no Serena without a Venus.
Yeah.
Well, so and Venus and Serena Williams made it possible for Coco Gauff to be going to quarterfinals right now. Because otherwise, Coco Gauff probably wouldn't even believe she could play tennis at this level.
Right. And, you know, I people forget this because of how dominant Serena has been over the stretch. But Venus was tearing Serena up them first couple of years.
Yeah, she was. Because she was the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
She was. I mean, and their healthy competition is what raised Serena. That's why Serena gave her her flowers. Raised her game. She had to raise her game. Listen, I'm tired of losing to my sister.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
So the one who I was thinking of earlier, and I just wanted to make sure I slid her name in there, was Sloane Stephens.
Okay.
Sloane Stephens.
Got it. Yep, she is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 'cause another one. I was saying, yeah. I'd be interested in seeing what she had to say because I know that she's a little bit older than Coco
Yeah, I'm looking. I got all of them right here. So let's see. Lindsey Vonn, Magic Johnson, Derek Jeter. This is how you know you the GOAT, because all the GOATs reaching out. Michael Phelps.
Right.
Russell Wilson. Dawn Staley. Let's see. I don't see her. Becky Hammon. Simone Biles. Come through, Serena.
Yeah.
You're getting them all, baby girl. Oprah, hello. You know you at the pinnacle when Oprah said to you something. Hello. Mm. Shonda Rhimes. Come through. I'm looking. I don't see her. The governor. Okay. Yes. Bill Gates. Hello. Ooh. Even Bernice King, hello.
Oh yeah.
Gosh,
so girl. It looks like they had a bit of a disagreement back in the day. So I don't know if she.
Yeah, I don't anything, see her so. Sending her. I didn't see this, but it does well either way.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, Serena, I mean, it's about Serena's flowers. So I should have just kept that part to myself. But
it's okay.
Shout out to Serena. She's the GOAT, and not just the GOAT in tennis. She may be one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Maybe. Listen, you had this conversation with S.A.
Yeah.
S.A., hands down, you can argue till you blue in the face. She's going to keep telling you, hands down, we don't care that she's a female. She is the best athlete ever. Yeah.
Like, when we think about dominance, she has been more dominant in her sport than anybody has been in there. So.
Yeah. So, shout out to her, for sure. Yeah. All right.
All right, show picks. What you watching?
So, mine is a little different this week. Mm-hmm. So, there's a church in Miami called VU Church.
Oh, wow, okay.
V-O-U-S. And the Wilkersons are the pastors, co-pastors. Wife, Don Cherie and Rich Wilkerson are the pastors. Mm-hmm. And they are really good friends with Michael Todd because Rich has actually preached at Transformation before. Mm-hmm. And Michael Todd does VU Church revival every year. Well, they just did a single and secure conference, VU conference. Okay. And I watched, they did a panel of about 6 people. It was Don Cherie, Rich, Michael Todd, their friend, his best friend, Rich's best friend, and this bishop, this black woman who's a bishop. She was the only single person on the panel. Mm-hmm. But they talked about singleness and marriage. And that 59 minutes, so many gems were dropped. Mm-hmm. So much good information was shared. I say even for a married couple. It was because everybody else on the stage was married. Yeah. So it was good information. It was just good. Single and secure.
Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. I remember when Mike Todd was releasing his book, he went to VU Church and he did that service down there at VU.
Mm-hmm.
And he really poured into their ministry.
Yes, he did.
So I could tell that they have a great relationship.
They do, yes.
You know. So I've been watching, I've watched the first episode of Man in the Arena. And if you haven't watched it yet,
what is it on?
It's on ESPN Plus. So, you know, I got that whole package, Hulu, ESPN Plus. Yeah, I'm going to send you the log in.
Yeah, I don't have none of that. I'm like, I don't
know. You're going to get the login as soon as you log on. But it's the whole Disney package. You get Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. Uh-huh. But yeah, I had started watching it last night, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or early this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this was pretty good. So I'm ready to watch the next episode. So Tom Brady is amazing.
It's about Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
He's amazing.
Yeah, what? Tom Brady's amazing.
Okay.
Now you know how I feel about my GOAT. you know, Peyton Manning will always be
Peyton is the GOAT.
It's nothing that's going to happen in this documentary that's going to make me change my mind. But, you know, when we think about somebody who is an underdog, we look at where Tom Brady is now. But when we think about when he came out and just all that he had to endure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I love it. That's why he has such a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. He remembers. He doesn't forget.
And he doesn't forget it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, so, I love it. Okay.
Shout out to Tom Brady. Shout out to my GOAT. Our GOAT.
Our GOAT. That's my Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is my, it's going to be it. Yes. Y'all can bring whoever you like. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But
we are at the end of another one step.
Yes.
Those of you who are listening and not watching, and you didn't hear at the beginning, I have a short haircut now. So don't, you know, when you go to our YouTube page and you see, you know, don't comment anything negative about it. Only talk about it if you think it looks nice.
That part. Keep your cup. Listen to everybody who's listening. If your mama didn't tell you, I'll tell you. If you don't have nothing nice to say,
don't say nothing at all. No. But if you would like to reach out to us and tell, you know, tell me how nice you think it is.
Yeah.
Our email address is field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. That's field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our socials. Our Twitter is @field2therealp1. Our IG is @field2therealpodcast. And you can hit us up on Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. And if you look right there where Step is pointing, it's field2therealpodcast. No number two, the letters T-O. And you can go to our Facebook page. You can see all of our episodes, our video episodes that we've put out. You can go to our YouTube page, which is a better idea. You can go there and subscribe. Like, share, make sure you turn on that notification bell so that you get every video as it comes out.
Yep.
And go check out our TikTok page. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do better, but yeah.
Yeah. But I you know.
Anyway.
We're going to have to do better all the way around with our social media. We're going to get better, guys. This is episode 176. We love you guys. We are out. Peace. There you go.
I had on a white shirt. I felt comfortable today.
Oh, man. Bye, y'all.
Now put the cameras on me. 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 Put the cameras on me.